My name's Steve Hoversall, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp in the studio. My thanks to Scott Hughes from Radio City 96.7, Connor Phillips on Radio City Talk. We bring you all together for the next hour and take your calls, red, blue, white, whatever you want to talk about. 0151 4720967, 4720967. We have also got a copy of the brand new book, Mr. Liverpool, a book about Ronnie Moran, the official life story, to give away. We'll do that in about 10 minutes time, right? Before we get onto the serious stuff, the stuff about
Can I put
Monday
my feet
night.
Up tonight?
You might be able to.
Yeah, yeah.
You might be able to. I think John's expecting a flurry of calls. He wants to talk to you. Some thoughts on Ronnie Moran first, John. Great book. You probably haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, no, I've obviously seen the marketing of it. Yeah. No, Ronnie was. To be fair, it's quite apt. You know, the title of the book, Mr. Liverpool, put his life and soul into Liverpool, didn't he, along with his family. Nice man, great football person. Tell you what, he proper apostle from Bill Shankly's ways and his philosophies, and took forward. And yeah, he's not too well now, Ronnie, unfortunately. But I'll read that, definitely.
Right, this book's been done by his son and a couple of the guys that we know well that have done stuff on LFChistory.net. There's a great little quote here. If we won 5-0, he'd still moan at us. He was definitely proper old school Sharpie, wasn't he?
I had a little look at it before we come on here, and John's looking through it just now and leafing this. But the things in the back, John, where he's actually got a record of their actual training weeks and the run up to games and everything else, and what the teams were, but also during the week, who was injured, what treatment they got, what the first team done, the run up to the game. Really, really interesting to see what actually went on behind the scenes at Anfield in the preparation of the week before a game. I think it went before a Man United Cup semi-final, but really, really good. And some of the treatment they had to play, or some of the players had to go through. There's one there at Borussi. I think he has to have the ultrasound, ice, and a jab. You know, and that's it. And somebody else has had to get something else. So it's amazing. Great book. Looks a great book. As I said, just leaf through it. But I'm sure it'll be a great read, not just to Liverpudlians, but to football fans in general.
Yeah. They look like notes that maybe he kept at home that his wife or now his son Paul has got and released. Yeah. That's the interesting stuff with them, isn't it?
It is, and it's great because, listen, it just shows you how, you know, particular and professionally was that he would do that. You know, because you think of people now, they're just going to say, right, okay, what are we doing? Okay, we'll do that kind of thing. Yeah. But to have an actual record of it is brilliant. It just shows you what a football man he was. And obviously, he's learning all the time. But no, good read. It'll be a good read.
They did, and then there's that archives of every training session at Anfield in the boot room. So if something went wrong, which was similar to previous years, they'd go back to that, get it out and reintroduce it type of thing. Very clever.
The original stuff. Right, we'll give this away in 10 minutes, Sam. I know loads of you will want maybe a copy of it. We've got one before it goes out in the shops. Right, obviously some headlines to talk about. We could talk about Wayne Rooney a bit in a bit, but we've got to talk about Liverpool first, Monday night.
Wayne Rooney's a good topic today, man.
We both came in and told Sharpie on Monday, didn't we? We said this isn't straightforward.
Yeah. But I was just trying to put an argument, you know, against, but no, I have to say, sorry, John's going to say, but I thought Liverpool smelt were it, awful,
To be fair, it's been, you know, too many times it's happened now. You know, we're getting overpowered. We're not physical enough. And it's not the play, by the way, it's not the player's fault. Jürgen's picking on a certain day. Like, if you're up for a scrap, which most teams, you know, in the league, you know, below the top nine, probably, they're all scrappers. You know what I mean? They know how to, you know, be physical as well as try and play football. And if you can't match that, you know, you've got to find a way out to do it. So when you've got Firmino up front and you've got young Coutinho and Lallana and Mane, no real physicality there, especially with Lallana. And especially when you're under the cosh, you need, you know, in our days, you know, Sharpie up front. If you're under the cosh, put the ball in the corner, you know, and Sharpie, you know, myself, I'll run onto it. Get the ball up to your chest. We'll chest it and hold the centre-halves off at five, 10 seconds, which is a long time in football, to give them a chance to get out, and then you can play and get it in their half and play a bit. But Firmino, you know, everything's coming off him. You know, he's probably too intimidated that he's going to kick from behind when the ball's getting played, because it's not his fault. It's not natural.
He had a terrible game, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
Oh, that's
but he wasn't alone, was he?
He wasn't alone. But there's a few of them, you know. But what I'm trying to say is, when you've got a centre-forward, you need him to take a bit of pressure off. And if you get a centre forward and you play a ball up to him and he holds a centre half off Huth and he gets the ball and he can't get off him and he's strong and he keeps the ball and he plays it back to the line and you go, oh, well done, I'll have a little bit of that. Mm. And it goes through the team, Steve. But at the moment, Firmino, unless we can play the nice little tippy-tappy way, that when that happens is great. These games, you can't. Mm. And it's happened too many times now and we just can't do that no more. So we have to try and do some different philosophy to win these games that we're getting beat against these teams. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it at the moment because you've got Sturridge injured and I don't think he can do it. Rigi, can he do it? Because, you know, he's not got great physicality. He's not a great fighter. So we've got a bit of a problem between now and the end of the season because people are saying, at the end of the day, we've got a great run in because we've got all the middle to lower league time. We've got an awful run in. Mm. Because it's when we play the top teams, you know we've got a chance. Our running is awful because they're the teams, the last eight games, that we get beat by.
It started off very early. You know, Vardy's left his mark on Mane. And you could see they were up for it. I mean, you can talk about, you know, why didn't they do it under Ranieri. But they were up for that game. And I think, you know, John alluded to that and thinking it was going to be difficult yourself as well, Steve. But I'm not seeing Liverpool do that. But right away you saw, if it's a scrap, going to be one winner here and it's going to be Leicester. Huth and Morgan up against, as you said, Firmino all day long. He couldn't get out of their pocket. And Vardy, you know, people seeing a bit he ran about more. He was lively. But again, looking at Liverpool and I'm looking, you're asking, you know, Lucas, who's been great for Liverpool and done the job before, but when you're exposed to his pace, surely for me, what do I know kind of thing, but surely a centre-half who plays centre-half week in, week out would be better cope to deal with that, you know. And I just think it was strange again that Clavin, whatever everybody thinks of the player, I haven't seen a lot of him, but he's a centre half. He knows how to defend more than what Lucas does. And it's strange when you're playing, you know, your left back and your centre back are both midfield players.
Let's take some calls about it. 6:37, the Radio City Legends. Just looked like Leicester wanted it more. We're going to talk with Steve first of all. Evening, Steve.
Good evening, lads. How are we?
Sorry, right, they've got you now. Turn their headphones up. Go on, boys.
Oh, cheers, lads.
Hello, you Steve.
Right? All right, boys. How are we?
Steve,
okay, Steve. Yeah.
You're absolutely spot on there, lad, with your centre-half choices there.
Yeah.
The only thing I couldn't understand, though, is that, you know, I know it's, if you like, it was a big game for us, probably a bigger game for Leicester, but the thing is, we played the kids in the FA Cup, where I rung up about a couple of weeks back when we played Plymouth the first game at home. Why didn't he play the likes of Gomez at centre-half instead of Lucas?
Yeah, Gomez was, to be fair, he wasn't on the bench when I expected him maybe to be on the bench. And I don't know, maybe he's injured. I don't know, but I think, you know, you've got a fair point.
You know, and again, John, we've spoke this time and time again. The goalkeeping, wow, I'm not kidding you. If he doesn't get a few bob in the summer to improve the squad, then he'll go in 2 years. Steve's asked me a couple of weeks back, right, you know, about winning trophies and this, that and the other. If he's got 2 years, I honestly think, to do it, he won't get sacked. I think he'll walk. Because if he doesn't get the backing of the club, he'll walk the likes of Klopp. You know what I mean? Yeah, he won't want sacking, but he'll walk.
Yeah, but that's a long way off, Steve. But you're right.
I know it's
at the end of the day, what you're saying there, he's got to get backing because last year, obviously...
He
spent nothing. Whatever was sold, it recuperated, and you know he spent that money. So all the 140 million that come in before the ball was kicked, that's gone into the club some way or form. But with wages and one thing and not new contracts, but it doesn't cover the whole lot. So next year it's another one, isn't it? Every year we seem to say, oh, here we go again. We need a big turnaround every year. Mm. You know, we're not certainly. Or seeming to be building on, you know, getting better and better, because you're looking at more dead wood now, aren't we? You know, he's got caught out. Players have gone backwards, you know, and
we talked about how thin the bench was, didn't we? Because we were on air on Monday night.
Of course it was. We knew that. It was
and when you're bringing Ben Woodburn on to try and save the game, who's obviously going to be a great player.
He's done all right when he come on. 5-10 minutes. You're done all right, yeah, but you're right, Steve.
But it's a great example of where the club shouldn't be at for a game like that, isn't it?
No, that's right. We have got some injuries to contend with, you know, to certain players. We know that. But Some players have gone backwards.
Steve, I would say, just looking from the outside, I would look at it, and you guys will know more than me, but I would possibly say this is one of the weakest squads. And I know John said that some of the signings in the past, no, I've been dodgy signings and everything else, but yeah. Liverpool always had like a strong squad. You know, they always had a strong, on the bench they had a strong squad. This is the weakest squad I've seen for Liverpool for a long time. Because you mentioned the kids on the bench and everything else. So you're right, I think he's got a massive job to bring in players.
See, another thing, you know, we got to talk about strikers. You know, Firmino's been asked to play up there. And when he's come off early in the season with the four of them, it was fantastic. So it was different class when he come off. But now you're looking at the strikers we've got. Danny Ings has been out all season. Mm. Very, very unfortunate. Mm. You know, Sturridge and Origi. Who else are you going to play up there, you know, at the end of the day? They're the players that win your games, that set your stall out, get the early goal or create problems. And away from home, there's just no physicality, you know, at the end of the day. And there's a big hole there. And I think he's got a lot of work to be done in the summer, regarding up front for me. Because will Danny Ings ever be the same? I hope so, but I don't know. Sturridge, it looks like he won't be here, doesn't he? Origi, I don't know. Again, he's gone backwards, you know, the last 12 months. So he's got massive work to do up the top.
Steve, how noticeable to you was it that Henderson wasn't playing?
Well, I was just about to say something.
Yeah, massive. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you could notice that he wasn't playing, and you can notice that, you know, in the midfield we had no one. I tell you what, Chan, what's he all about, him, Chan? He hasn't got the ship.
Oh,
he's cut off.
He was that angry. His phone died.
Yeah. Joe, but listen, I looked at it, and I think we said on Monday night, you know, and I said it. When would you ever think that you'd say you'd be regretting that Henderson didn't play? But in that game, Liverpool never had a leader who would say, "Well, right, okay, we're facing up to these. We're going to compete with these." As soon as that my first tackle went in, and Manny from Vardy, you looked at Liverpool for a reaction, and you thought, "Well, who's going to stand up to him now?" And be counted, and there wasn't many. Yeah. And that I used to always say that with Everton. Everton under Roberto Martinez were far too nice. I'm not saying Liverpool are that at the moment, but I think Everton were far too nice. I thought Liverpool were too nice.
The only one who could probably, you're looking at the players now, could probably stand up is probably Milner.
Yeah,
you know,
he, as well. Yeah.
You know, you're looking at Matip at the back, who I think he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but he's not a leader as such. Mm. He's very, very quiet, you know, not communicative at all.
Keeper did all right. One or two saves.
Yeah.
One or two saves.
I thought for the first goal, perhaps, you know, if you're going to be picky, the first goal, perhaps he maybe undercovered his near post. But you can't blame Simon Mignolet. He pulled off a couple of good saves. But that's being picky. At the end of the day, not one player would get a mark over five. You know, if you're going to mark out of 10, and that happens, and you succumb to the physicality, it's not good. It's not the first time. Let's not forget Hull City. You know, there's so many. You know,
but John, again, worrying thing, and I think Jamie Carragher pointed it out: the ball over the top, Nias at Hull, one ball, and to me that means your centre backs aren't right. To get caught again, and people looking at the two centre backs now saying, "Let's get it in behind them."
Yeah, of course. If you play a high line, you know. To be fair, to the ball when Vardy put in, all right, Lucas was always going to get done by pace. But I'll talk about Matip. Matip was facing the wrong way. He was actually his body was facing towards the right hand side, which went, "What's happened there?" And he was never going to get back. But it's nitpicking, but it cost us a goal. Mm. And the first goal was always, as we said, Sebby, I thought the first goal was always going to be massive in that game. Mm. If we could have got it, you know, it might have really knocked them and the belief that they were trying to prove a point. But they got it. And it was, we were never going to get back after the first goal.
Give us your thoughts. 0151-4720967. New callers always welcome on the Radio
and
City.
I think Rooney,
Legends.
Bring Rooney. Rooney
0151-4720967. Short break. We'll do that book giveaway in 10 minutes' time. We push it back just a little bit because the boys got stuck into something there. You with the Radio City Legends.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
At 10 to 7, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, myself, Steve Hothersall. Give us a bell, 4720967, 4720967. Any new callers out there, we always welcome you. Right, Sharpie on Tuesday was involved in a day which Sky had put on, where they essentially filmed down at Finch Farm all day. Gave you a behind-the-scenes look at, I don't know, Romelu Lukaku. Mm. But the thing that was most interesting was Jamie Carragher wearing an Everton kit.
Yeah, brilliant. Great to see you.
Jamie Carragher, John, of all things,
he's
an Everton kit.
He's gone back to his boyhood heroes. Hey, he's gone back to his boyhood heroes.
Has he switched allegiances?
What do you mean, no?
I'm just glad he put it on after he'd finished playing football, Steve.
No, put this in perspective, John. No, if you were asked to put an Everton kit on, would
it's
you
a charity, yeah, of course it would, yeah.
If it was charity.
He would have had to do one the other year with Phil Thompson. Remember, it was up in Kirby. It was some was it the home or something? And I had to put Liverpool on, and Tom will put a blue shirt on. Yes. So, yeah.
But your elder statesman, he's just left.
An elder statesman now as well. Then
was he forced into this kit?
No, he wanted to wear it. We said we could wear what you wanted, but he said give us an Everton kit. I've always wanted to wear that.
I've heard he said Lukaku forced him.
Oh, well, if you would, do you see? Yeah, go on.
Did Lukaku skin him at some stage?
No, I think they were doing a thing for Sky, obviously. I think it's a run up to the derby. You know, it's going to be shown before the derby. But it's interesting. I won't say too much, but it's interesting. Interesting bit.
Okay. You're not the most trolled person on Twitter, by the way, John, no. Because after Jamie Carragher was pictured in his kit, he then had an argument with Danny Simpson. About the picture of him in his kit.
Yeah.
Have you been following Jamie on it?
No, I've seen a little bit in the paper this morning. Jamie who? Jamie Simpson. What's he ever done?
No, Danny Simpson.
Oh, Danny. I thought it was Jamie Simpson. No, I never heard of him. Danny Simpson. Very, very ordinary player, by the way. Very fortunate.
What did he see?
Oh, well, it basically started a bit like this. The first tweet was, going to put it out there, no offence. I don't think I would ever see Gary Neville training in a Manchester City training shirt. Oh. So Jamie Carragher responded back and said, more offensive than you lot running around on Monday. Mm. And then it went on and on and on. Make your mind up as to who won that argument.
Oh, going behind the manager's back was in the equation as well, wasn't
it? Yeah, that came into it a little bit later on as well.
You know, to be fair, I'm back nine paces, but what's the name again? Danny Simpson. Danny, never heard it.
Listen, can I tell you something? We can talk about it and all that and people say that, but listen... It says a lot about the lad as well, Jamie Carragher. He must have known he's going to get battered. You know,
he's not bothered, is he?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Get a life.
Not bothered. Right, let's deal with this Rooney stuff. So, big article today in one of the papers. Wayne Rooney would consider a return to Everton this summer. As the curtain comes down on his United career, he's apparently told his friends of his decision to leave Old Trafford, and clearly there's been some sort of leak suggesting that he would be interested in Goodison Park. So what sort of role would it be?
No, this would. I think the manager was questioned, Steve Walsh was questioned, even threw a curveball in at me the other day in Sky. Would you be interested? Listen, at 31, he's still a quality player. I don't know how many years he's got remaining in his contract. How much Manchester United would want from, what his wages would be, could he come to an agreement? Listen, the manager is the one that can answer that. The manager is the only one that can answer. Does he fancy him as part of his team? Where would he play? Somebody's asked me that question. Well, the way they set up in the last game was 4-3-2-1. I would see him, if he did come, he would play possibly behind. If it was Romelu Lukaku, it would be Bartley and Rooney. I could see him in that position. But listen...
It'd be expensive, wouldn't he?
Well,
is he on 300 grand?
It's up to him.
It's not a money thing sometimes, is it? You know what I mean?
What, for Wayne?
Oh, well, hey, how many millions do you want? If he's a diehard Everton fan, which it's always, you know, in his blood, whatever, even though things have happened in the past with fans and that, and he started his career off at Everton and wants to finish off. You can't look at how much money do you need in life? You know, that's he's brought up till the age of 18, 19, 20, Evertonian. Just do it.
I'll remind you of that when he goes to China, John.
Just do it. It's, again, I don't know what Man United would want. Yeah. Man United should, you know, me, of course I would. Of course I would. Because, he watched Everton when he was a kid. That was the same with Liverpool. Man United, for what he's done for them, they'd have to scratch their service clean and say, well, we'll only take a minimum price for you for what you've done for the club. But will they? mega.
See, that's
Man United.
That would help him, because if they said we'll squash that, then Everton could pay the money.
That's it. That's the way it
could
happen.
There's ways around it.
So it can happen, right? Let's take another call. New caller on the Radio City Legends. Let's talk with Ross. Hello, Ross.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Hello, Ross.
I'd like to speak to Sharky, please, about Everton.
Yeah, go on, mate.
Yeah, just listening there to Wayne Rooney, I think, in terms of that signing, I think on and off the pitch, I think it'd be a great thing. I think on the pitch, so nobody from Manchester United, you know, we've attacked him over the years, but I think what we'd be investing in is no out quality. You know, the game's obviously 90 minutes, whoever is in order, then putting on different fronts gives us squad depth, and I think it's sort of a vital game, would you agree?
Yeah, I think, you know, I look at him and think, has he got still something to offer? Of course he has. I think he's still a very talented footballer. I just think at this moment in time it's not happening for him at Manchester United. He's been there a long time now. Maybe the time for the change. A change does him the world of good. He's still got quality. But as I said the other day, you know, only the manager knows. If the manager can see a place for him, you're not just going to buy him because of sentimental reasons. I think he knows you have to do a job for him. But everything coming out from the other day at Finch Farm was that they're very, very interested. Of course, we just talked about it here, John, about, you know, the monetary side of things. You know, obviously that would be a big thing to sort out as well. But listen, who knows what Wayne's thinking? But as John said there, you know, coming back to somewhere where you started and, you know, just to finish your career at your boyhood club would be something special. Whether it happens or not, we have to wait and see. But certainly I still think, you know, whether he goes to Everton or whether he goes elsewhere, I still think he's too early in his career to be put out to pasture and go to likes of China and the MLS and everything else. I think he's got too much to offer still in the Premier League.
No, absolutely. Great. I just think, you know, the way he plays as well, you know, he communicates on the pitch. And I think if you've got that higher up the pitch, you know, for us now, I know Lukaku, he's banging in the goals, but I think there's times in a game where if you've got that leadership, or, you know, it's just experience you can't buy. You know, I think, you know, we've got Ashley Williams. You see how the back line's performing now. But, you know, off the pitch, do you think it'd be a statement of intent, you know, by the club? Do you think it'd do a top profile of the club, you know, signing?
Well, Ross, it'll be a big signing, you know, and there'll be a lot of publicity around it. The most important thing, I said, is what he does in the pitch. But you hit the nail on the head when you talked about, you know, experience, you know, for the young kids coming through. He's been there, done it, you know, it was a big, big, big thing at the time. You know, he's had to deal with all that. He now comes back, you know, I wouldn't say more grounded, but, you know, more knowledgeable on the side of the game, and I think that would help as well. But just let's wait and see.
Ross, your line's a bit bad, so we're going to have to leave you there, but great points. Thank you very much indeed, pal.
Thanks a lot.
Great to hear from you. Where does he play?
I just said just playing Lukaku.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that because the line was...
I think he's not slow, but you'd need you know, a bit of pace around him because he can make things happen. Mm. Let's get it in perspective. He's 31 years of age, Steve. Ibrahimovic is 36. Stevie G finished at 36. Mm. You know, Carra the same. He's in the same mould. Mm. You know, it's probably a no-brainer as long as the cash side, you know, is down the road. You know, it's a no-brainer on both sides of the fence, this, you know. And, you know, financially as well, for what he could give the club and the marketing value of him. Again, you've got to look at that side of the fence as well.
I hope he does it. Be a brilliant story, wouldn't it? Mm. Right, let's give away this book, Mr. Liverpool, Ronnie Moran. It's been done with Paul Moran, his son, and written by Arnie Balderson and Carl Clement. So
two good scousers, yeah.
It's a cracker of a book. It's got some great pictures in as well. Here's the question. Right, so basically the first one through with the right answer gets it. Multiple choice.
Yeah.
How many honours did Ronnie Moran win as a player and on the coaching staff? Ooh. So collectively, was it 24, 34, 44 or 54? So how many honours did Ronnie Moran win as a player and on the coaching staff collectively? 24, 34, 44 or 54? Give us a bell now, 0151 4720967, 4720967. And we'll try and get a winner on air and give away this Mr. Liverpool book. I know there was a big launch of it the other night. Yeah. The likes of Tomo and a few others, Phil Neal, all down there to support it. But
is that including Charity Shields as well?
Yeah. What would you go for?
He's just seen that. He doesn't know.
Do you not know?
I'm going for that.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. Sharpie's wrong. Sharpie's wrong. What would you go for?
44.
I'm not telling you whether you're right or wrong, but I can't say. I could say that Sharpie was wrong. So the 24, 34, 44, 54. They're all remarkable numbers, aren't they?
To be fair, yeah.
Dave's just trawling through the phone lines at the moment to get the right one. Just before we take a caller to air. Roy Hodgson, the favourite for the Leicester job. What do you think about that, you two?
I like Roy, but
I do
come
like him,
on.
No, not for me, no.
But you know,
one to two with one of the prominent bookmakers now. Craig Shakespeare, 7-4. That suggests something's been done, doesn't it?
I think you look at what he'd done in his Liberty. You've got to say, well, give him till the end of the season, Craig Shakespeare. Personally, that's only my opinion, you know. And then see what happens, you know, because he one result on the back of what's happened. You know, give him a couple, you know, see what happens next couple maybe. But you could have someone just in case to see through the last 8 games in Nibby, but I think he might be all right for them for short term.
Yeah, how old's Roy Hodgson now?
60s, mid-60s, is he?
Yeah.
I have to Google him. Has he got experience keeping teams up?
No, he's got experience and everything else, I understand that. But to me, I think Leicester and the way they want to go, maybe give it to somebody younger, and I'll probably get battered for that, but no, I don't know.
Okay, Dave's fielding your calls at the moment. He can't get off the phone lines, I don't think. We're just trying to get a winner.
I think one thing, would Roy really motivate the team? Yeah. Or he could set them out. Or I don't know. They need big motivation, you know, to stay in this league, you know, the players, if they're ambitious enough to not go down. Which they should stay up anyway, shouldn't they?
I
actually think they're going to run now. I think Leicester will go and run between now and the end of the season and finish comfortably above the top, by the bottom few places.
But they are, but listen,
it's okay raising your game against Liverpool, but they'll have the same situation when they're up against the Burnleys of this world and can they raise themselves to the levels that they raised? They haven't done it all season. They've done it for one game, for whatever reason, which you two alluded to on Monday night, why are they just doing it? So I'm not sure it'll be interesting, but I'd go along with John. I'd keep it to the boy Shakespeare and see what he can do, because he knows the players.
Yeah. See what he can do. Right, 2 minutes past 7 o'clock. We'll take some more of your calls and do that winner in a moment or two. World Book Day today. What did your grandkids go as, John?
World what?
The World. World Book Day.
Book Day.
Do you not know?
First I know about that.
What do you mean, what did they go as?
Well, you have to choose a character and go, is it? I just thought, John takes his grandkids to school sometimes. Go to school. They all go to school
today.
Half
term.
No. Look at you two old parents.
I didn't know.
No, do you not know it? I'll fill you in during the break.
Well, go then. Who does your kids go as?
Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And someone from Harry Potter. Whose name
did you give him the wardrobe?
No, Mrs. H did all that, didn't she? Clearly. 3 minutes past 7, Radio City Legends.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7 minutes past 7. It's taken our hard-working producer, Dave Downey, a good 15 minutes to field all your calls for the Ronnie Moran book, Mr. Liverpool. It was done with his son, Paul, and written by Arnie Balderson and Carl Clement. I think it's out this weekend. To my dad, now your memories are fading. I'm proud to be able to carry them on, says Paul on the back. Right, just before we go to the winner, or at least a couple of people who can have a guess, this was the question. Right, so over the course of his 50 years, how many trophies did he win as a player and coach collectively? Was it 24, 34, 44 or 54? Let's just pick a line at random and go to... who have we got here?
It's Ronnie in Rainford, St. Helens.
We've got a Ronnie. Ronnie on the line.
Ronnie from Rainford.
Hello, Ronnie.
Hello there. Hello, boys.
Now then, Ronnie from Rainford. Do you know how many honours he won?
Yeah, 44.
Yeah, well done, mate.
You've got to play the tune.
Well done.
That's 44. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant stuff. Well done.
For the second part of the question, Ronnie, do you know what they were?
Going, oh, have you got enough time? I think he won around 7, it was, for the... Just as a 7 for something, kind of.
As a player. 7 as a player,
sorry,
he won,
that's right, yeah, as a player.
As a coach, 37. 13.
30-odd it was as a coach, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me read them out. 13 first divisions, John. It's not bad, is it? One second division, 5 FA Cups, 5 League Cups, 13 Charity Shields, Four European Cups, two UEFA Cups, and a Super Cup, and a medal haul that must be sort of bulging out the front door of the house.
Wow, very proud, Danny. Yeah,
not
bad. That was unbelievable, that wasn't it? Absolutely unbelievable.
Ronnie, you've won Ronnie's book.
Oh, fantastic. Ronnie to a Ronnie, eh?
Yeah.
Were you a fan of Ronnie?
Oh, yeah. I've seen him play. I used to sit on the steps of the Cop when he was in the reserve team years ago.
Brilliant.
And watch him play there as well. And, many years ago, yeah.
Steeped in a bit of history. We'll make sure we get this out to you before it's released in the shop. So, well done, and thanks for listening to the legends, Ronnie.
Oh, before I go, could John do us a favour and sign it for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to sign it to Ron?
Just to Ronnie.
Okay, mate, we'll do.
That's a nice one, John.
I'll do that now, pal.
One of my favourites as well, John.
Take care, Rami. Bless you.
Thanks, Ronnie. Thanks for entering.
Great show as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for everyone who's taken part in the competition. Has the competition broken our producer, Dave Downey?
I think he was sleeping there.
Was he sleeping or was he just a broken man? He looks like a broken man. He's threatening to leave the studio now. He says we're picking on him. We're going to do Look Who's Scoring in just a moment after we've gone to Chester. It's the Radio City Legends. Let's catch up with Glenn. Hello, Glenn. Oh, no, Glenn's not going to be there unless I push this button. Hang on. Let's see if we can get him. Don't moan. Hello, Glenn.
Hiya, lads.
Hello, Glenn.
How you doing? All right?
All right, yeah.
Well, mate, yeah.
I just wanted to have a bit of a natter at you. Forgive me, I've just been and done my shopping, so you may well have already had this type of phone call anyway. I do apologise. It's about the whole specialised position thing and playing players out of position, especially when you've got players who are specialised to those positions on the bench. We were having a bit of a natter at work about this the other day, and I'm one of the probably quite a few now that think that Lucas should never be anywhere near centre-half, especially when you've got the likes of Clavan on the bench. You can put Moreno at left-back and then just put someone like Milner in his normal position. And the thing I seem to have shoved down my throat was the fact that it was, Mascherano did it for Barcelona. And I was like, well, fair enough. However, Barcelona had a much better goalkeeper behind them. They had a much better defenders around him. And he had a much better midfield in front of him to protect him. And it just frustrates me when you see obvious things like that, which could solve the problem. Because I would rather have a specialised League Two defender there ahead of someone out of position there. It's specialised. Mm-hmm. You cannot make a mistake, otherwise you're in deep bother, aren't you?
Yeah, but if you're talking about left back, I think the reason why Moreno doesn't fill you with confidence defensively wise, and every time he goes there, we're always thinking he's very susceptible to lose his concentration and cost us. Going forward, he can do really well. He's more of a wing back, to be quite honest. But that's the reason why Milner, people. Mm. Hey, James Milner, no one can point fingers at James Milner. He's been a great pro. He does his job what asked for. He probably really doesn't really enjoy it an awful lot, but he gets on with it, and he's been terrific for us. But I can see your point.
He's been absolutely top draw, and I'd never ever say anything against James Milner, because you can normally find a positive out of any performance, and nine times out of ten it's James Milner. The only reason I mentioned that was going by what you guys were saying before, about when Henderson wasn't playing, you didn't have that bite in midfield, and you didn't have that leader, and you didn't have that someone to keep the play ticking over. And people will say, oh, Clavin's not the greatest, but with Milner there, at least you've got a bit of composure and a bit of protection ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And rather than having this mishmash thing, I know the guy got cut off before when he was talking about Emre Can, but oh my God. Oh.
Yeah, he's gone backwards a little bit, yeah, but to be fair, he hasn't this season.
I don't like slating anyone from the club, because as long as they're wearing the red shirt, I'm happy with them. Do you know what I mean? To a certain extent. But the guy looks shot. His confidence looks on the floor. He slows it down too much. And when you've got players who are going to be in your face, like Leicester were the other night, you couldn't risk having that.
We haven't got many alternatives, to be quite honest, have we? In that position. We spoke about Everton, who in that position, they've got like four or five. We haven't. You're going back to young Stewart, who's on the brim of things as well in there. Grukic has not played hardly all season, unfortunately. Yeah. He's another injury problem that we've had. What does the manager do? There's not an awful lot. Unless Lucas goes in his preferred position in front of the midfield, which, he'd be better off. And to be fair to Lucas, again, it's hard to knock him because he's been asked to do a job out of position. Yeah. He's another great pro. You know, he's been at the club for 10 years. He's very, very loyal. You know, but he's got caught out. You know, most of the games when he's got caught out has been away from home. Yeah. I remember against Tottenham, he was possibly our best player against Tottenham. And that was against Harry Kane. Let's not forget that. But all of a sudden, Leicester, we got caught out.
I genuinely feel for the lad because you know that up against someone like Jamie Vardy, he's always going to be struggling. And when you're putting players straight into that scenario who aren't used to being there, you know, you do feel for that because he tries. And as you say, you know, the Tottenham game, he shocked everyone, I think. But, you know, the poor lad, one minute he's not playing at all and then the next minute he's out of position. And like you say, you know, he would be half decent if you just put him in that holding position in front of a back four. You know, you can have Clavan there as long as you've got Lucas in front of them. You know, I mean, personally, I don't think there's much wrong with Clavan. I mean, a few times I've seen him play, I think he's looked all right.
But you look at it as well, and Aldo, you look at it as well. Well, Sack will go. For whatever reason, you know, the fallout and everything else, and it's a fallout, and whatever he's done, we don't know what he's done. Whatever he's done, it might deserve him to get shipped out, I'm not sure. But you would like to think that, looking at the centre-back position, if he was still there, he could do a job for you. Whatever you think of, he's at least a centre-half, and he knows the centre-half's job. But you're asking somebody to come in who Lucas does a great job, whatever you ask him to play, very similar to James Milner. But it's not somebody who's been brought up to play centre half, and you need in those positions, especially in the Premier League, you need somebody who knows the position. They're going to come up. They're going to come up against different players. People who drop short. People who go over the top. Okay, if the player that Lucas was marking, say Harry Kane, and went short all the time, he'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
As soon as he went on his shoulder, he's in trouble, kind of thing. So you want somebody there who's played that game week in, week out at the highest level to say, I can change my game. I can either go short or I can go long. I know where the danger is. I can smell danger. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like you ask people to go and fill in a position and they don't smell the danger. And I think that's what happened on another night.
Yeah, you know, with Sacco, you know, it's you know, and we don't know what he's done. As Sharpie, right? You don't know if he's done something really damaging, then, you know, the manager's right to do what he did. But now we're looking at where we are centre-halves. You know, we could have done with him at the club to play a few games because he'll put his foot in and he'll battle a bit, you know, more so than other players, which is what we're missing big time at the moment.
Thank you, Glenn. Brilliant points. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to move to Gary in Bebbington. Just a quick one. You mentioned Kev Stewart. He's 23 years old now. So is he good enough?
Well, it's up to the manager, isn't it? Not for me to say.
But at that sort of age, I mean, he's had some rave reviews, hasn't he?
Knocking at the door, you know.
So if we're talking about Emre Can and saying, well, all right, he's struggling, is Kev the most obvious one to go in there?
But
he's young, should have legs.
He's the only one at the moment, isn't he?
But doesn't seem to get the chances. Right, let's talk with Gary. Welcome to the Radio City Legends again, Gary.
Hi, mate, how are you?
Good stuff. Sharpie's here.
Oh, Sharpie, you've had an easy night tonight, haven't you?
I have, lad, yeah. Long may it continue.
No, wait, like, just one ring up. I entered in for the Ronnie Moran. And I got it wrong because it's my sister-in-law. She's a big red.
Right.
She would have liked that book. I'll have to buy it for her. Anyway, Wayne Rooney came back to us. Did you see the Duncan? Well, yeah, you saw Sharpie saw Duncan on Sky.
Yeah.
His commitment to Everton, you could see it's in his eyes, in his voice and everything. Wayne Rooney came back to Everton. Can you imagine them young kids going over? And I said, Mum, guess who I was next to you today in training? Wayne Rooney. And he taught me this and he taught me that. Bring him back. I mean, I don't the way he's stuck here, fine, yeah. Let the club sort that out. Let's incest while he's on the park. How many times in the last couple of years, that's 5 years, have we not had someone in the box who can get a tap in or off the post or a tertia? You know, he would be brilliant with Ross Barkley and with Lukaku, with Davis, and just playing just in between that midfield. I know someone's got to be left out, but our bench on, I think we had the best bench ever on Saturday, and we were playing Sunderland, and it was brilliant to have a bench like that. But imagine adding Wayne Rooney to it.
Not adding to the bench, I hope. You wouldn't be happy with that kind of thing.
No, but just playing there. And even if he gives us 60 minutes. I mean, Pat Nevin used to play for us. Pat Nevin would give us 60 minutes and he'd be off the park. But he'd give you 60 minutes. Limpard the same. You know, and just to get Wayne Rooney on that pitch back to Goodison Park, our new stadium would sell out. I don't care what anyone says. But does he want to come back? You know,
Gary, the biggest thing is, that's it. Does he want to come back? And if he wants to come back, you're halfway there. And I'm sure they'll do their best to you know, to get him back here, but only time will tell. And I say the man with the big thing to do is the manager. If he wants him back, I'm sure the board will try and back him as much as he can.
Yeah, I mean, he, when he was on television the other night, he said, you know, like the other day, like, you know, he wants to bring in players, you know, that he wants. And, I mean, not that we coasted it on Saturday, but we could have had a few extra goals if we would have had someone in there just for a six-yard tap-in. Tony Cossey was brilliant at it. No, you know, the little tap-in, things like that. And we've missed that. You know, the ball goes across the box. Oh, you missed it. Andy Gray was best. He dead the blade of the grass just to get the ball in. I saw him at Newcastle in the rain when we won 3-2. And I think he hit it in with his tie. No one else went for it. He had that header against Notts County.
Andy Gray, was he the best at it? What do you think, Sharpie?
No.
No?
He's the best at it, but in my time.
In your time. Gary, we've got to go there. I think we've got a bit of a problem with your phone line there. Apologies. It sounds like the microphone's going round and round our heads, so apologies. Yeah. Made some really good points. Let's do a look who's scoring.
Right.
Does everything sound a bit...
It does. You touch something there and then...
Have I hit a button or something? Producer Dave, save us. We're giving you a hard time for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's Dave's anger waves, he's saying.
A bit spooky in here.
So this guy's what? Is he 27?
This guy was born in 1980, so we're playing look who's scoring now. Okay.
37, sure. Yeah.
This guy was born in 1980, spent his entire 14-year career to date playing in England, and continues to play now in the lower leagues. Ooh, any ideas?
Not lowy, is it?
I'll tell you. Is it? Lee Hughes.
Not a dog's chance.
You said Lee Hughes.
Absolutely shambolic.
Yes, but right, winner
for 4 points, a winner of one Premier League, one League Cup, and also won the Championship between 2006 and 2011.
2006.
So he won a Premier League, and he won a League Cup. Yeah. And the Championship between 2006 and 2011.
Meaning what, 2006? In one of those years, you mean?
Yeah. Okay, any guesses? Go on, throw a name in there. Just a random name. Sharpie, you've got something on the tip of your tongue?
Lee Hendry.
No?
That was pathetic, Steve.
Yeah, that was awful, wasn't it? Really was.
He's in non-league now.
For 3 points. Won the Championship with Newcastle. 19 games for England, just one goal. Played his last international game in 2007.
Won the Championship in Newcastle. Read
that again. Batty. No, he's not playing, is he?
What did you say?
Batty. No, it's not him.
Absolutely shambolic.
Read that quick. Won the Championship in Newcastle. And what?
Okay. I think that's your microphone. By the way, if anyone at home thinks it sounds a bit odd, it could be Graham Sharp not using his proper microphone voice. So won the Championship with Newcastle. 19 games for England, just one goal. Played his last international in 2007. No?
Steve Stone.
No,
not a dog's chance. No times out of 100. Not a dog's chance.
Okay, 2 points. 2 points here. Remember, John Aldridge leads this competition, doesn't he? Yeah, 18-17.
Won't after this because I'm not.
2 points. Started his career as a striker, but was converted into a midfielder after a high-profile move. I think you should get it from this one.
Oh, it's all right if it's in front of you. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This one will definitely give it away. This is for just 1 point. Are you ready?
Go on.
On the buzzers. Remember, first one to shout out gets it, and one of you will get it straight away. This player suffered a horrendous injury while playing at Anfield.
Yeah, it was...
Liverpool.
Blondie. I can't get his name.
Come on.
I can't think.
Go on, think of him.
I don't know who it is.
Who do you reckon?
I know who it is. I don't know.
Who does he play for?
Hold on.
He played for Leeds. I can't
And who else?
Batty.
You are batty.
Absolutely.
No, I know it's... No, I can't get his name out.
Well, go on. I'll give you 10 seconds to think of his name.
No, hold on a minute. It's finished.
I'll give you 10 seconds to get his name. Okay.
No.
So you've got a very common surname in Liverpool.
Lee Clark.
How many wrong guesses do you want to get?
This is getting farcical.
Don't be mouthing the answer. No, I haven't got it. Unlucky. Go on.
No, he broke his leg.
Can you not do it?
I just...
He's a smigger?
Smith, yeah. It's Alan Smith.
Yeah, but neither of you are having
Smith.
It. Neither of you are having
I couldn't think of it because obviously he broke his leg at Anfield, didn't he?
Where's he playing now?
Where'd he play?
He's still playing now.
He played at Notts County, didn't
Notts County.
You said non-league.
Notts County.
Couldn't get out.
Lower league. I thought you said non-league. That's why I went all
that. No, it was quite clear.
Man United. One right, you've got... Man United.
It was a good way to finish the show.
And the clues were...
John Aldridge still leads by 18 points to 17. You couldn't get it out, could you, John?
By the way, come on, Tony Bellew. Come on, Tony. Yeah. Knock his head off on the weekend, eh? Looking forward to that,
Andrew
by
Matthews.
The way.
Yeah, so I'm the other day. Yeah, really looking forward to that.
What a great day Saturday. Is everyone on the telly Saturday as well?
Boys, got to go. Four Sunday. Seconds. Sunday. Okay. Radio City Legends back on Monday. See you then.